Thanks for listening to the PowerPress podcast. My name is Mackenzie Bennett, and I'm your host. This is episode 15, and today we have Megan Francis on the show.
Hey, Mackenzie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great.
Thanks for being on.
Of course. I'm excited.
So you are the co-host of The Mom Hour, and how long have you been podcasting?
Oh, gosh. I officially started in 2012, but it was sort of like a slow ramp. and a little inconsistent for a while. But I would say really consistently for the last 2 years.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
So, yeah, you've gotten some good experience on this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm very excited to talk to you about all the stuff that you've done later on.
Yeah.
But for the time being, we're just going to get into some news. And I'm really excited that you're on here because you are the first female guest that I have had on the show.
No way.
Yes. Yes, and I figured it was also fitting because I think March is Women's History Month, right?
Oh my gosh, I can't believe you just asked me that. Well, yeah, it probably is, and I don't know the answer is the other thing I can't believe. But I think so because it was International Women's Day like last week.
That's what I think.
So I doubt those things happen in two different months. No. So we're going to go with it. If it's not, we just made it so.
I am perfectly okay with either one.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm excited to have you on for this. And then we also, you know, had the feature earlier this week on the PowerPress podcast as a blog post, kind of profiling two other female podcasters as well. So I figured this was a good way to end the month.
Lady power.
I'm all for it. Okay. So the first bit of news that we have is, it's not exactly news. It's an article that I saw that actually was written in 2013.
Oh, okay.
But still,
a little ahead of its time.
Yeah, still seems relevant today. It is four reasons why your business should have a podcast. Yeah. And it was written by, I believe, Brad Carl and posted on Voice Media Services. I don't know if there's anything else going on this website since 2013, but here we are. First one is establishes expertise and builds trust with your audience.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I agree.
Yeah. Does he go on to say, you know, to elaborate on that?
Yeah. He said, you know, business podcasts are not specifically meant to sell a service. It's supposed to add value and information to the people that you want to actually be buying the service that you have, the service or product that you actually have.
Right.
You know, whenever people like put out a podcast that I enjoy, like I already like their product, then that's going to help. So I understand.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Agreed.
The next one was provides a platform for a controlled, detailed message about your products and services.
Yeah. Well, and it's the place where you can really dig deep, right? I mean, really get into the nitty gritty of what it is you're offering. And I think I kind of feel like that also goes hand in hand with the first one.
It does. It does for sure. And that's essentially what we're doing with the PowerPress podcast. I mean, it's obviously from Blueberry, but we're trying to give more and more details about PowerPress with each episode.
Yep.
Because it gets updated all the time. There are simple and advanced modes. Sometimes I feel like I'm in the middle of both of those.
Yeah.
But that's what we're trying to do. Give more information about this.
Yeah. And also, I mean, and also just be of service to the community, which maybe will be in number three or four. I can't wait to hear what number three and four are.
Yeah.
I don't want to get ahead, but.
But you're on the right track.
Okay.
So number three is sustains a relationship with current and potential customers beyond the walls of your company. So essentially reaching people that you wouldn't necessarily reach with what you've been doing before.
Yeah. And I, you know, the other thing, well, actually say four. Say number four, because then I want to see if there's anything he didn't say that I want to add.
Okay. It's interviews with leaders in your particular niche will establish your business as a respected leader in your industry.
Yeah. So I think those are all great. And one thing that popped into my head when you were, I think it was number three, mm-hmm. talking about the platform, is I also love how it gives people in your business that you wouldn't necessarily otherwise hear from, like you, a platform.
Yes.
You know, so, I mean, that's convenient for you, but it's also good for the company, I think, to kind of see, to get that inner glimpse of what's going on behind, kind of behind the curtain and who the personalities are, and allow those people to sort of become leaders and recognizable people on their in their own right. That's cool.
Right. It's giving you a better idea of what, like, where they're coming from, what they might be introducing in the future, what a company's goals are a company's goals, but they come from the people that work for the company.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Yep. Another thing I think it's interesting that was written in 2013, because even in 2016, I feel like there's just, I feel like it's still tip of the iceberg time. Like, as far as, you know, there being all these really noisy channels out there that are just kind of, you know, just totally oversaturated with content.
Yes.
And then there's podcasting, which I feel like has not gotten there and may not for, you know, a while. So there's still so much opportunity to dig in and establish a following there. There's more people coming to it all the time. Even if there's a lot of shows, there's even more listeners showing up daily, figuring this podcasting thing out. So
I agree. Yeah. I mean, we saw the data from a couple of weeks ago that in the past year, it jumped from 17% to 21%.
Mm-hmm.
That is listening to podcasts.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's obviously still growing, and, you know,
as that leaves a lot of people still to go.
Yeah, still a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like, whenever I go to conferences, I see such a wide variety of people that want to start a podcast, and it's mm-hmm. anywhere from, like, someone that I talked to, someone that had a podcast about golf, to this is, like, the CEO of a company, and they want to start a podcast for, like, the HR department for new employees mm-hmm. for their company. And it's never ending. It really is.
You know, one thing else I would also add is that even though the technology is still kind of tricky to figure out, mm-hmm. there's still like a relatively low barrier to entry. You don't have to pay to play. This is not Facebook, you know? You can really make a bigger impact. I think that businesses and brands who are finding that their social media dollar isn't going as far as it was because suddenly now, I mean, I, the word on the street is that pretty soon even Instagram and Twitter are going to become sort of pay to play, and that they're becoming algorithm based.
Yeah.
And Facebook has been that way now for a couple of years, or two, three. I don't even know when it all started to fall apart at Facebook, but you know, like when you really had to start paying money to be able to be a player in that space and
to be seen, to be heard.
And I just, not only is podcasting not there, I don't really see a way it could be there. I mean, unless iTunes decides to totally jack up what they're doing, I really don't see it going in that direction. I could be wrong. Maybe we'll be talking in 2019 and you'll remind me that I said this 3 years ago and I was wrong. But for now, you know, it's a good way to get in and like experiment a little bit and figure out. And, you know, Blueberry's got great services to make it easier too, which is nice. But it's you can do it. Anybody can do it.
Exactly. You can. I mean, pretty sure one of the most popular podcasts out there, I think it's by Lewis Howes, mm-hmm. I think. I mean, half the time he says that he records with his iPhone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're not very limited. If you want, right. you can do this all on your iPhone and send it to whatever application you have on your computer and you're done.
I think we just doubled that article. I think we just made it 8 reasons.
I know.
I lost count, but I'm pretty sure.
It's okay. As we go on, it's probably going to get more and more.
Too. Yeah, exactly.
This came from, let me see the website, was Voice Media Services, and they have a podcast, or they did have a podcast. I don't know if they do anymore.
I find that interesting how many podcasts still are relatively high, you know, highly ranking that haven't updated in years, and I guess that just shows you kind of that there was this big, I don't know, like a bubble almost, like a mini bubble.
Before and then, like, tons and tons of shows started to come out.
Right. Yeah. Before people really started listening. I think a lot of people just jumped in and tried it out and it was, you know, recorded a few episodes and then were like, well, the audience isn't really there yet. Yep. And then went away.
Got discouraged.
So now, but now it's like, try again.
Yep. I know.
It's like blogging used to be. So, you know.
Well, that's the thing. Like, there's no harm in starting one and kind of doing the pod fade and then yep. starting another one or going back to the one that you just started.
Yep, absolutely.
It's perfectly fine. I mean, that's what we did.
Yeah. Yep.
That is what we did, and it's working out just fine.
Yep. The audience will be there waiting for you, so.
Yes. Okay, so after 9 points, let's move on and
sure.
talk about the mom hour.
Yeah. Gosh, well, I mean, you want me to start at the very beginning?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, all right. Okay, well, I started podcasting in 2012, and I've gone through some different iterations of it. The very first, I became interested in podcasting pretty early on. I've always loved radio and was really intrigued, but I'm not really a super early adopter. I'm sort of the person who sits back and sees if other people are going to do it first yes. before I get into something. So I just couldn't see, you know, my niche at the time was very strongly in the mom and family arena. And I just didn't see yet where there was the audience ready there. I kind of thought of my readers as people sort of like me. And while I would occasionally open up my browser and listen to a podcast in my browser, I was not the person who was going to go through all the hassle of like downloading it onto an iPod. That was just not going to happen. So I think it was about 2012 I started really listening to podcasts because that was around the time it became really easy to start mm-hmm. listening to podcasts. And that might have been when the first app showed up on my phone. I really don't remember how I fell back into it. But it started to become something I was doing not just while sitting in front of my computer, but while making dinner or out in my car or whatever. So I really wanted – and this idea came because I got into podcasts because I was trying to cook more at home. Mm-hmm. And this was a way for me to not get bored while I was in the kitchen. So I wanted to have a podcast that would help other moms not be bored in the kitchen. And that was literally, that was the entire concept. Like, I'm just going to have, and I called it the kitchen hour because I thought if you can spend an hour in the kitchen every day, you can, you know, put a good meal on the table, have enough time to clean up. And if I can entertain you for an hour,
yes.
That's, you know, then we're all coming out of heads. Win-win. So I launched that in 2012 and people loved it, but I just, you know, it was still kind of like most people who were reading my blog, and I was heavily into blogging at the time, just weren't really there. They kind of, you know, they're like, oh, that's nice, but it wasn't like really gelling. And in 2004, so I was still putting out episodes, but just kind of straggling along. And in about 2014, I really kind of felt this shift coming where suddenly people were coming out of the woodwork and mm-hmm. were interested in podcasts. So I decided to rebrand the Kitchen Hour into the Home Hour because that was more tied in with my brand. And it was an interview-based show. And then the person who worked on the blog with me, who was my like partner in the blog, and I decided to launch one called the Mom Hour. Mm-hmm. So at that time now I have three shows, right? Then I had another person who I'd done occasional episodes about fashion with, and she and I decided to do the Style Hour. So I had all these different shows going on. And I decided to look to round them all up and put them under a network name, and that's called Life Listened. And you can find all the shows at lifelistened.com. Mm-hmm. And I'm about to launch actually two new shows. One is called The Content Coaches, and one is called Life Work. And Content Coaches is just what it sounds like. I'm a content strategist. That's what I do for a living. And so this is like helping people, businesses or bloggers or, you know, influencers, people who just want to have better content. This podcast is for them, and it's co-hosted by a friend of mine who's also a content strategist named Jessica Ashley. And then the and Life Work is co-hosted by a local friend of mine who is an entrepreneur, and it's all about sort of the intersection between living a great life and running a successful business. So those two, you know, I'm taking it in a slightly different direction, but what I love is that, you know, there's still so much room to experiment like that. The network was really a way to kind of group everything together so that if one show sort of started to fall by the wayside, as a couple of them have, I'm not as interested in them as I was. Mm-hmm. I had that platform already in place to introduce new shows without losing the audience. So yeah. It's a place to kind of keep everything together. So I found it really convenient for that. I don't know. Got any questions for me?
Yeah.
That's it in a nutshell, right?
Yes, that is the nutshell, but I have many questions. And you just mentioned that, you know, if other shows start to fall to the wayside, you have others that your audience will most likely still be interested in. I never yeah. really thought about it that way.
Yeah. Well, and it wasn't really, you know, when I decided when I launched the network, everyone was like, oh my God, a network. Ooh. And it's deceptive, right? It's really just a site where all of my shows exist
yep.
so that I don't have 16 different places I have to go put show notes. And for me, it really needs to be consolidated and simple, or I just won't do it. I do think it made me look a little bigger than I really was. And that was useful to get good guests and stuff in the beginning. But yeah, I like knowing that I have this thing that's more than one show. So it's this thing that kind of encompasses all of these different interests I have. I brought other people on who I thought would connect with my audience. Some have done really well, and some, you know, just for whatever reason, the fit wasn't as great. Mm-hmm. But this gives me a place to experiment with those people as well. And potentially, you know, if I ever get this organized about it, some of those people could host their own shows. And then I don't have to necessarily be the one actually recording every single episode. Everything. Exactly. I mean, that would be nice to move into that at some point. I'm not there yet, but I could see it, you know, in the not so distant future that that could happen. And so, I like the idea. For example, the Home Hour now is only really updating about monthly, and the Style Hour, I think we're just going to kind of wrap it back in with the Home Hour because that's where it started.
Okay.
I would do a monthly or so style episode of the Home Hour with my friend who has a style blog. And then, you know, we started recording weekly, and I thought, I just don't have that much to say about style. I like it. It's cool. But that could definitely be like a monthly thing for me and not a weekly thing.
Yeah.
So it's nice now that I could say, okay, you know, as part of this network, it's not really inconsistent. We're just going to go in a little bit of a different direction and take those episodes back to the Home Hour. The archives are still all together. So the Style Hour episodes are all there. It's a nice little, you know, it's a nice little taste people can get of what those episodes might sound like. And then same thing with the Home Hour. Like, I don't feel a lot of pressure now to have a new episode of the Home Hour every week because I'm recording the Mom Hour every single week. And that's like clockwork. That's been definitely like the flagship show, even though it's not the flagship show. That's what it really feels. It's the cornerstone of the network right now because it's really regular. It's every week. It's very consistent.
It's the one bringing in the audience.
It's the one bringing in the audience, mm-hmm. Right. And I like that there's either these other little pathways they can go down, but it doesn't take away from that.
Right.
So.
You've done so much, I feel like, in such a little time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's once I hit the ground running, it was really exciting. And people, I would say, you know, like I said, I started blogging a long time ago. I think my first blog went up, and it was some free WordPress or TypePad site mm-hmm. or something in like 2000 or 2001.
Yeah.
And then really started taking blogging very seriously around 2008 and did that for several years. That was my main business, was running. I had a mom blog that was sponsored and did really well with it. And then, you know, it just, the enthusiasm started to wane, I think, for kind of everyone. Yeah. It was like, it changed. And the blogging world changed. Brands weren't interested as much anymore because they were shiny new things like YouTube and Instagram. And they were all kind of chasing those people. My readers stopped commenting. It just became sort of this echo chamber because all the conversation was happening somewhere else. It was happening on social media or people just weren't bothering because they were all reading on their phones. You know, so there was just this very different feel, and the blog really, it never really stopped growing, but I would say the engagement really plateaued maybe 2012.
Right. That's when people started engaging.
Yeah.
Literally everywhere else.
Exactly. Exactly. And so for the last 2 years, we have more excitement and growth. Oh, there's my doggy. I work from home. So,
yep.
she can't help herself but freak out when people come in. So, exactly. So we've had so much excitement and engagement around this podcast. More, I mean, it's like exponentially more than was happening with blogging for the last 2 years. And it's kind of, you know, I could have probably continued to kind of eke out a living with blogging. But it becomes a little demoralizing when people don't seem to really care if you post anymore, yes. You know, it becomes sort of like, so.
I mean, that's why some people stop podcasting is because
exactly.
Same thing.
Yeah. And I still love blogs. I think they're a really great way to deliver information, but I don't know that they're the same. I don't know that they have the same personal feel as they did. And that was where, you know, I still find it really rewarding to blog for businesses because I think that's still a really great way to deliver that information in mm-hmm. addition to podcasting. But for myself, I just felt like the excitement was really behind podcasting. So that's where I went, and it's been great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it.
So so you use PowerPress for this, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Are there any features that you use on a regular basis to handle the entire network, essentially?
So we've got it set up, and this is so funny. My husband does all the tech stuff, so mm-hmm. I'm going to be speaking a little bit. This is an educated guess. I know we have Blueberry Hosting and uh-huh. Stats, and it's all together. So when you go in and you're on the dashboard, you know, you put the file into that show's, like, field, I guess. So, you know, like when you scroll down, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
So yeah, we use that heavily. Otherwise we'd be all over the place. It would be a mess.
Mm-hmm.
For a while we were using PowerPress, but we weren't hosting with Blueberry. Mm-hmm. And as soon as we launched more than one show, my husband likes to play with things and he likes to try, like, likes to think outside the box a little bit.
Yeah, he and likes so it ended to up look at all of his options. Yeah,
exactly. And yes. he likes, you know, he so he had like a lot of different pieces. Like he had, I think we were with Amazon Web Services for hosting, and then we had like, you know, so everything was like all over the place. And then we kind of had to like piece it all together every time we put up an episode.
Yeah.
And I thought, I said, I can't, at this, if you're, you know, become unable to perform your services for any reason, honey, I need something where I can just do it and not be like, oh, so I've got this file over here and like, you know, this exactly. player over here and I'm using this other service for stats. I mean, that didn't make sense at all. So consolidating, it was a great idea. And I think he was actually really sold on that because every single time he had a problem, just with PowerPress and when we were getting, you know, the hosting initially set up, mm-hmm. every time he had a problem, if he ever sent an email or whatever and got in touch with customer support, they were on it like so fast and they were so helpful. So he thought, you know, he was the one. I mean, he set it all up for me. It wasn't like I wasn't the one who decided. He said, no, this is a great service. We need to go with this.
Oh, so, that's awesome.
Yeah. We just yeah. need to put all of our eggs in that basket. So
yes.
yeah.
Some days it yep. feels like that. There's a difference between having your husband work on like four different companies or four different services
right.
at one time. And then if he wanted to stop, handing that over to like an assistant or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, and I think a lot, and I don't want to sound, you know, I don't want to gender stereotype, but I think a lot of female podcasters, their husbands help them in that way. Like I just, mm-hmm. I think that's a very, very common relationship to mm-hmm. have one of them behind the mic and the other one kind of behind the doing all the tech. So I'm guessing I'm not the only person out there who's in the same boat who's listening right now.
I'm kind of in that boat as Mike Dell, our support yeah. guy, helps me out a lot with it.
yeah. Yeah. Well, you've got a built-in team right there.
Yes.
So,
yes. So I imagine if I was doing this by myself, I would, you know, be going out to some friends that I had in college that majored in audio and
yeah.
asking them to definitely help me out.
Yeah. Yep.
That would be the first thing I would do.
Absolutely. We can't all be good at everything, right?
No. So. No. I've learned quite a bit, but still some days I just don't know.
Yep. 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 And sometimes it's a better use of our time just to hand it off and let, you know, see, it's the easy button.
There is definitely that as well.
Yeah.
And some days there are problems that I, you know, will try to tackle myself. And then other days when I'm like, this is literally a waste of my time.
Yeah.
Just tell me how to do it.
Exactly.
And I will figure it out.
Exactly.
So total, including the two ones that you are going to be starting soon, how many shows are?
Well, technically there would be six. Mm-hmm. But because I'm going to consolidate, I mean, there will be four active shows.
Okay.
There will be the Home Hour will continue to update about monthly, the Mom Hour weekly, and then Content Coaches will be about weekly. And the other shows, and we're going to be, Life Work is going to be daily. So
wow.
I'm a little freaked about that.
How long are those episodes going to be?
Not that long, like okay. 20 to 30 minutes.
Okay, good.
And the nice thing is that my co-host lives in the same town as me, which I think is pretty unusual.
Yeah.
We live in a small town and we both, you know, entrepreneurs and we met a long time ago. We always wanted to work on something together and couldn't figure out what it would be. You know, like there was never any business, there weren't any business overlap. You know, we didn't have enough overlap between what he does and what I do to really work on any kind of
thing
like that together. But one day I said, well, why don't we just do a podcast? And it's been really fun. So we, you know, we're physically in the same room when we're recording. And that seems to really give it just, I don't know, it's kind of like having an accountability partner to go to the gym with you or something. It's
yes.
like he's, I know every Tuesday afternoon I'm going to show up at his
yes.
Office and we're going to record, you know, and we're going to talk about ideas and then we're going to record for a couple of hours and then we're going to like really hammer everything out together. So it's not like, it's just kind of catch as catch can, which I think sometimes ends up happening when you're remote or if it's not a big priority.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can get kind of fall down the priority.
Yes. Yes, I know what you mean. It's easy
yeah.
when the other person isn't there for them,
yeah.
for someone to just suggest, oh, can we change it
yeah.
to tomorrow? And you just
exactly.
go along with it.
Exactly. And, you know, that's why one thing I will say has been really helped me solidify and feel good about calling myself, you know, a podcaster mm-hmm. and having a podcast network was the fact that my co-host for the Mom Hour, Sarah Powers, she's like my conscience. I mean, she's on me and we have
yep.
a dedicated time to record every single week. And, you know, I know that that's when she has a sitter, so I cannot flake.
yeah.
I cannot bail on her. And I mean, it works out great. Like, you know, we still kind of wing it. She'll text me about 15 minutes before we record and sometimes be like, oh, do you have any idea what we're going to talk about today? And we've always got like a list of ideas and we'll just look at it and pull something and then we'll pull up a few blog posts to go off of. And so it's very conversational and pretty off the cuff at times, but it's organized in that I know we're going to record. We know what day it's going to go up for sure. We've got a really nice system. And
you
I
know
think
it's going to happen.
Yeah. Having a partner like that, I think makes something that sounds really daunting, not as daunting. So
yes.
I also, we don't do a lot of editing. And I think that helps too, you know? I mean, I know everyone's got a very different approach to that, but I had to decide early on, was this going to be a really produced show or was this going to be a show I actually do?
Yes.
So, the answer was one that I actually do. So yeah,
I completely understand there is a limit that you hit of time, effort, and caring.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, it's not just like an edit here, but like if you produce part of a show, you know, to make a sound a certain way, maybe it's a little choppy, you know, that sound, then you kind of have to do the whole thing. I mean, you can't really just, it's either got to be one way or the other. It's unless you, you know, made a big mistake or something, like I accidentally called someone by the wrong name once. I mean, that had to go, but you know, I mean, otherwise I feel like the little ums and ahs and little stumbles and the dog barking and stuff in the background, you know,
just leave it.
It's real. It's authentic. People like that. They, you know, they identify with real life and real people.
The only thing I try to cut out is like dead air. Someone, you know, took a pause to think of something, which is fine.
Oh, yeah.
But sometimes I'll cut it out, like cut out part of the pause.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to have like, that's something that I just don't enjoy listening to.
Yeah. No, personally. I agree. So, yeah. It's got to keep moving to some degree. So,
exactly.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on all of your work.
Thanks. It's been fun. It's been a fun ride. I'm encouraging everybody I know to podcast because why not? It's fun.
I don't know if I could ever convince any of my friends to podcast, but it's pretty easy to convince them to at least listen to them.
Well, there you go. You know, and yeah.
Which I'm perfectly okay with.
Exactly. Not everyone needs to be actually recording, but I think we're just going to continue to see this growth in readers or listeners, and you know, the audience is just going to continue to get bigger and bigger, the potential audience.
Yeah, so. They said that the biggest growing demographic of people that are listening to podcasts is millennials, so 18 to like 35. So that is the biggest population out there right now. So it's bound to happen.
You know, that's interesting because now, like, I'm reaching this mom audience. My kids are all older. My youngest is 7 years old. Mm-hmm. My co-host's youngest is 4. Or no, maybe she's 3. Oh, my gosh. I should know this. I think she's 3. Anyway, she's 3. I'm just going to go with that.
Oh,
but
we're sticking with it.
3 years old. But we're already, you know, we kind of laugh about this, like how irrelevant we're sort of becoming in some ways in the mom space because things are moving so fast.
Yes.
So no one is buying the same stuff they were buying when I had my daughter 7 years ago. Uh-huh. No one, everything is different. Like the apps are, I mean, there weren't apps when my daughter was born. I'm not even sure if I had a smartphone.
Nope.
So, I mean, things are changing rapidly. And that's something that we think about. You know, one way we kind of get around that is we ask our audience a lot of questions, like a lot. Like, what's going on with you? Please tell us, like, what are people talking about?
What do you want to hear about?
What do you want to hear about? And we can speak intelligently about any of it because we're moms and we have a lot of experience, but we might need them to kind of lead us to what the issue du jour is.
Exactly.
Because we may not be immersed in it enough. And I think that could apply really to almost anything. If the millennial audience is what's growing fastest and you're not a millennial, I don't think you have to change who you are or change what you talk about, but maybe think about the way you're going to reach those people and what their needs are.
See, I don't have to think about the millennial part because I am one.
However,
I do think along the same lines of, you know, finding guests for this show. Like, there's so much information that some of these people know about PowerPress that I don't.
Yeah.
And I'm like, tell me, like, what issues you are having with PowerPress. Tell me what you want to see out of it, because then we can talk about it.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes when you're too close to something, too, you know, when you're, like, behind the scenes and working on the product and everything, you may not even think about what someone who has no knowledge of Blueberry or PowerPress or any of that is thinking about or needing. So that's a really good strategy.
It's never ending.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, you ready to move into some more news?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
So I think it was earlier this week, they released the Podcasters Hall of Fame inductees for 2016, put on by the Academy of Podcasters. I believe, yes, that's what it is. So this is happening. They get inducted and go to a, you know, there's a whole ceremony for it and everything. Add Podcast Movement in July.
Cool. I will be there.
I was about to ask, you are, yes, you're speaking, right?
I'm speaking at their PMX event. So that's like the day before it officially kicks off.
The 5th?
It's Wednesday. Yeah. Okay. Is it the 5th? Yeah. Wednesday. Yeah. But I think it's a free event.
Okay.
So, you know, for people who are going to be in town or who live in the area anyway, you may as well go.
Yeah.
And say hi to me.
So what's your session going to be about?
I'm going to be talking about bringing over an audience. So like converting your audience.
Okay. So,
if you have like a blog audience, how do you get them to become listeners, not just readers?
Yep.
Yeah. So yeah. That's something I've been working hard on. So
yeah, you've definitely got some experience in that. So,
yep.
Okay. Well, this is happening, I think the 6th, first official day, like the ceremony for it is happening on the 6th. And there are 5 inductees this year. There is Dawn Maselli, who was the first female podcaster. So congrats to her.
Nice.
Yeah. Her husband, or I think that, yeah, I think it's husband and wife. Yes. Drew Domkus. Hmm. Gary Leland, who I think is part of the board for the Podcast Movement group. I spent some time with him last year at Podcast Movement, and he seemed to be somewhat in charge.
Yeah. All right.
Myung Fogarty and Rob Walsh.
So we got two women.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah. Last year, I think there was one or two. I can't remember last year. I know there was at least one.
Cool.
A lot of different types of people, I feel like, for this.
Yeah. Wasn't Adam Curry last year?
He was,
nominated?
Yeah.
My husband listens to No Agenda pretty religiously, mm-hmm. and he's really mad because Adam Curry follows me on Twitter and not him. I just love to kind of rub that in every now and then.
I would too.
And one time I made a donation in my husband's name,
uh-huh.
and Adam thanked me.
Of course.
My husband. He came home because he listens on his commute, and he came home and he was like, "Ah, I can't even believe it. He didn't say my name. He said your name." Well, sorry, honey.
So, step it up.
Yeah, exactly. You need to get
step it up that, and do it yourself.
Exactly.
Exactly. So, yeah.
It's a funny little aside there.
So Rob works at Libsyn and has, I think, since 2007.
Okay.
A long time. But I mean, he's had podcasts for years. So no surprise that he has been added. Yon, who was one of the two podcasters earlier this week that was featured in the article, she's a grammar girl.
Yeah.
And pretty well known.
Oh, yeah. She's a household name. I mean, I've known about her forever. So
I mean, obviously, I know about her podcast, but genuinely, sometimes when I will Google grammar stuff, hers is the first thing that will pop up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's interesting because I've obviously heard of her podcast. I think most people who don't listen to podcasts think of her more as an author. Because she's mm-hmm. New York Times bestselling author. Mm-hmm. And I personally didn't know that she founded Quick and Dirty Tips. I didn't know that.
I knew that simply because I work here.
Yeah. I don't know that she
I had no idea.
I don't know that she's really strongly connected herself with that, and that I've noticed. I mean, I'm not, you know, hanging on her every word.
Yeah.
No offense, Mignon, if you're listening.
I think she'll be okay with it.
Every perfectly grammatically correct word. I'm not doing that necessarily, but I didn't know that. That was interesting. So
that's not a bad thing about your company, though. I feel like that has a lot of advantages.
Yeah.
If you're, you know, the founder and the person behind the company, but are not known for it.
And she has her own thing. I mean, mm-hmm. she's got her own, that's what she's got going on. So it's exactly. obviously been very successful for her. So yay.
And Gary Leland, he does a couple podcasts, and I know he started the podcast Pickle, which apparently was a web is a website, and it's one of the first directories dedicated to podcasting.
Okay.
So I didn't know the podcast Pickle existed until I literally saw a Pickle mascot walking around Podcast Movement last year. And I had no idea. I had to ask Todd. I was like, why is there
a pickle?
Yeah, I was like, why is there a pickle here? Like, one, I don't really like mascots. It kind of put me out. Two, it's a pickle. Like,
how is this relevant? Yeah, it's a pickle.
I didn't get it.
Yeah.
I really didn't. But it makes so much more sense now. I mean, yeah. Obviously, Todd told me what was going on, but...
That reminds me of the time I was... Have you heard of the Blogger Conference?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they're probably delving into podcasting, as they'd be crazy not to these days. Yeah. But I was at that conference many times, but I was walking one time between these two buildings, and the Jimmy Dean sausage guy walked by, like the guy who's like a son.
Yes. Yes, I remember from those commercials.
It freaked me out. It's like, why is there... I don't like this.
I agree. I completely agree.
Yeah. And it was the same guy. I mean, it wasn't even like a different guy in that guy's costume. It was like him.
It was, you know, like the actual spokesman person.
Spokesman walking around in the sun costume.
I feel like it was very hot. So much better.
Yeah.
It's like seeing the Fruit of the Loom, like, grapes guy.
Exactly. Yes. He probably was there too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Drew Domkiss, he has been working on the Don and Drew show, obviously, with his wife since it started in 2004, and then has worked with Adam Curry in the past and for Sirius Satellite and Mevio. So he's been all over the place as well.
Now, I know Mignon is a Blueberry user. Do you know if any of the others are?
I have no idea.
You have no idea?
Huh. Nope. No, I do not. I mean, if they hadn't heard of us, I'd be kind of, like, upset and confused.
I think everyone's heard of Blueberry by now.
Yeah, that would be my personal opinion. But they are still working on their show, and congrats to them for all of them being inducted this year.
Yeah, congrats. I am looking for. Will you be at Podcast Movement this year?
I will.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to that a lot, and whatever kind of event they have to induct them, I think will be cool.
You know, last year I went to the ceremony because Todd Cochran got in last year. It was a lot of fun.
Cool.
So, looking forward to it this year as well. That is all that we have for that news.
Hey, should we mention now that Blueberry has a discount code for people who want to go to Podcast Movement?
I'm pretty glad we're on the same page because, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
They have the chance to possibly run into either one of us there and maybe see a pickle. Yeah. So
I'm sure the pickle will be back. I'm sure it will. Yeah. The code is Blueberry, and you get $40 off your ticket.
And cool.
Who doesn't want to save $40?
Yeah.
I always do.
I'd like to save $40 anytime I can. So,
mm-hmm.
Yep.
So just use the code when you're buying a ticket to come, so you can meet me, so you can meet Megan, so you can attend Megan's session, you can stop by the Blueberry booth, you can go to the Hall of Fame ceremony, and probably some other stuff, like go to sessions like yourself.
Go to session. Exactly.
But also all those other fun things.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, that is all that I have for this PowerPress episode. Anything else you want to mention before we get off today?
No. I think you covered it.
Okay.
Thanks for having me on. It was fun.
Yeah, thanks for being on. Thanks for being my first female podcaster as well.
Hopefully one first of many.
Yes. I'm hoping not. Okay. Thanks for listening, guys, and I'll see you next episode.
Bye.